Welcome to the Titletown Times, where we bring you everything that you need to know coming out of 1265 Lombardi. My name is Nicholas Fargo, and with me is my co-host Robert Martin.
Hello, Packer Nation. What's going on?
What is going on, Cheeseheads? It's not Monday, but this is a Victory Monday episode. The Packers beat the Cowboys 34-24, and they go to 4-1 after Week 5. And what a feeling it is. Well, there's very little like beating the Cowboys. It's always a fun time.
Absolutely. So arrogant. But I tell you what, Matt LaFleur got off to a great start, didn't he, in his first year. These other first-year coaches struggling a little bit. Not our guy. Maybe we got it right this time, because I sure like the way this team is looking and the arrow's pointing up.
Yes, and it's not just the play on the field. You notice like how much these players are interacting with each other. I don't think we would have ever seen this in a Mike McCarthy team.
At least not in the last few years, that's for sure. There's a lot of camaraderie, guys doing interviews together, aka the Smiths, defense going out for supper all the time together, hanging out. It's a family out there, and it's showing on the field, and they're producing.
Yes, the energy is just unlike what we've seen the past few years, and I'm loving every single moment of it.
Absolutely. 4-1, baby.
Yes. So there were some injuries in this game. I noticed Za'Darius Smith went out a few times in this game. Like, I think they stopped the game for him like three times. But I think he was just cramping up a bit.
Yeah, it looked like cramps. Of course, you know, he's got a right knee that kind of lingers as well. And I know they were working on both legs, actually. So I'm hopeful it's not something that's recurring with his knee. And at the end of the day, we also know that sometimes teams use that strategy as well to get another breather, kind of an extra timeout when a guy can lay down for a little bit and get up and get off the field. I don't know if it was that, obviously. It did look like he was cramping up, but who knows?
Right. But that speaks to the resiliency of Za'Darius as a leader for this team, which is something that Ray Lewis apparently thought that we lacked in our front seven.
Yeah, and as much as I do love Ray Lewis as a player, he has no business talking Green Bay. He's not in the locker room. He doesn't know shit from Shinola.
Right. I think he said something about, like, we miss Clay Matthews' leadership on the front seven. And I'm just thinking, this guy has not watched a single Packers game this year.
No, if anything, I think we've gained leadership, and that's not a dig at Clay Matthews in any way. It's just these new guys that have come in have brought a different moxie, and it just seems to me like they do have that leadership quality. So I disagree with Ray Lewis on that one.
Oh, wholeheartedly. And the thing with the Smiths is they love being in Green Bay. They've embraced the culture, it seems, and they've kind of turned it around in a way.
Yeah, they really have, you know, and they kind of brought this kind of this edge to them, some more swag. And I guess at the end of the day, you look at like Jaire Alexander. Sometimes I feel like he was kind of this lone man walking in that department. But he's got some boys now that want to walk that walk with him. It's a dangerous thing.
For sure. Speaking of Jaire, he got cooked a little bit in this game versus Amari Cooper.
Yeah, Amari Cooper is a stud, though, and you know, he runs excellent routes. He has had some issues with the dropsies, but he surely didn't drop too many balls the other night. So, you know, sometimes you got to tip your hat. They get paid, too, and Amari Cooper's no slouch.
Right. Amari Cooper is one of the best route runners in the league. And, you know, I feel like Jaire is going to take this as a learning experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I looked at, you know, several of those routes were double moves, and Jaire is very aggressive. We all know that. Ball hawk. So double moves may get him a time or two, but he's a gamer. He competes. And you know what? I'll take him over many corners in the league.
Correct. And also, I can't say enough about Kevin King in this game. He's been having quite a year this year.
Yeah, it just seems weird to see him out there every single Sunday so far, knock on wood. And I just hope it continues for him, because it's been such a struggle. I don't think it's ever been a talent issue with him. It's simply been a health issue. And he's been on the field making plays, and man, is he just a dog out there. He fits with Jaire perfectly.
No kidding. And the thing is, Kevin King was unexpected to even play in this game, and he just had such a great performance out there.
Yeah, he battled for sure. I mean, he jams at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, it's kind of odd because he's a slender dude. But, man, he plays so physical for that frame. I'm just super impressed with how he can do that.
Yeah, it's very amazing. And, of course, we can't go without talking about Aaron Jones. Like, a different Aaron came in and just rattled the Cowboys this time around.
Absolutely. You know, and this is his home state. You know, he wants to come back home to Texas and show out. And man, did he ever. He was running with reckless abandon. And it just seemed to me like they were just feeding this hungry player over and over and over. And he was finding the end zone, what, four times. So that tied a franchise record.
And it's also the first time anyone has ever scored four rushing touchdowns on the Dallas Cowboys in their entire history.
Yes, absolutely. It was just a great performance all around. He had a nose for the end zone, and he just found a way to get it done. And doing it with Ezekiel Elliott across the field, too, which made it all the sweeter, because you just hear about Zeke and Zeke constantly, but the best running back on the field wore green.
Yes, for sure. And it really speaks to how our run defense performed in this game, because we stifled both Zeke and Pollard early, and we got up early, so we kind of took them out of the game, really.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure, without looking at the stats, how many rushes Zeke had, but it was under 15, I believe. And anytime that happens, that's a good thing for the opponent.
Yes, and I think it's because we got up to such a huge lead so early that the Cowboys felt that they couldn't afford to waste any time on the clock by running the football.
Yeah, they definitely had to abandon the run. When you're down 31-3, it's time to sling it around the yard a little bit. But again, kudos to the Packers for being more gap sound. It looked like they just put a little bit more of an emphasis on that, and it showed, because they were hitting Zeke at the line of scrimmage more times than they weren't, and that was good to see.
And Montrevious Adams was back in this game, and that was great. Like, he was so needed.
Yeah, he's played. Yeah, absolutely. Montrevious Adams seems to be the key cog for us, because when he went out with that injury, all of a sudden we were like a sieve in the run game. So having him back out there seemed to help a great deal, and I just hope he stays healthy.
And Oren Burks was out there too, and he didn't seem too shabby either.
No, Oren Burks had his first taste this last week, and hopefully his workload increases as he gets game action and gets game ready and things. He made a couple plays on special teams as well, which is nice to see. So, you know, good on him. That was good to see number 42 out
for
there.
Sure. And also, speaking of special teams, we've got to work on making sure that Mason Crosby doesn't have to tackle anybody, because early in that game, Crosby had to make a tackle, and it looked like he was shaken up a little bit. That just scares me.
Yeah, it scares me too. He took a knee, looked like to the back hip kind of area, almost lower back maybe. You know, the thing about Mason Crosby, and I'll probably lose some fans here saying this, but we kind of get hurt on some of his kickoffs. I mean, I wonder what his touchback percentage is compared to other teams, because we do have two to three kick returns every single game against us, and I don't know that other teams have that. Maybe they do. I guess I'm not qualified to say that for sure, but they hurt us because we don't always cover kicks very well. It seems to me like our kicker is getting involved in way too many.
Yes, and it makes you wonder if J.K. Scott should take over in kickoff duties.
Yeah, I mean, if you put the ball in the back half of the end zone, at least it's going to be a touchback. And if you put it in the front, half of the end zone, then it's kind of a 50-50, depending on who the return guy is. And for me, Crosby just hasn't put the ball deep enough to make it an automatic call. And when they do bring it out again, it seems like he's got to get in the mix. And it just shouldn't happen like that. Your kicker kicks the ball off, and then he gets to go to the sideline. He shouldn't be involved in the physical part of the game.
I agree completely. But J.K. Scott had a great performance again. Honestly, it can't be overstated how much he's helped us this season.
You couldn't have said it better. He flips the field. He was almost 50 yards a punt this last week. I think his long was 58. I checked up on him. And again, when your net is almost 50 yards, it's 49. And the thing is, these aren't just line drive kicks. He's putting the ball up there too, so we can get back. There's very little kick or punt return, I should say. And he's a weapon. So when you talk about Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Rodgers, and everything else, when you talk weapons on the Packers, don't forget the guy who punts the football. He's a serious weapon for this team.
For sure. And he looks like he's only like 13 years old.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's old enough to play in the NFL, that's for sure. His leg is dynamite.
I read somewhere that during warm-ups, J.K. Scott did a punt, and it nearly hit that huge video board in Dallas.
Yeah, that's a unique configuration to have in Dallas, and punters have hit that over time. That's a huge video board right in the middle of the field, kind of hanging up and low, but you still have to obviously boot the ball fairly high to get it, but people have been able to do it. I don't doubt that JK couldn't bounce one off of that.
For sure. And the thing that I love most about this performance, and a lot of these performances over the season, we haven't needed Aaron Rodgers to be Superman. That's just been music to my ears, thinking that we have more than just a one-man team now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't throw a touchdown pass this last week, and he threw for just a little over 230 yards, I want to say. So it wasn't like statistically this huge, you know, game. To me, it seems like he's willing more to take that check down. He's willing to take that 4 to 5 yard gain at times, where it seems like last few years, and maybe it's out of frustration, maybe it's when you've lost a few games, I'm not sure, but it just seems like he was so unwilling to do those kinds of things and put the ball deep play after play after play. He's willing to take what the defense gives him now, and he even said at the press conference he's not about stats at this point in time. He wants to win. That gets me more excited than anything.
For sure. And again, we had another incident of him jawing it up with Matt LaFleur on the sidelines, and you got to wonder if they're going, even if they are 4-1, if people are going to spin this as tension rather than them trying to figure out what needs to happen.
Absolutely, they will. There's a certain contingency of just anti-Aaron Rodgers people, and we just have to learn to deal with that. I don't think that he can do anything without having that certain contingency to speak up about it. The way that it went with McCarthy at the end of the his era, you know, I do think there was some sort of schism there. There was some ruffling of feathers, however you want to say that. But these are two competitive guys on the field looking to win. When you have that going on, you're going to have some maybe mini skirmishes, or whatever you want to call it, arguing back and forth, whatever. It happens on every single team. So I wish people would just realize that this is not abnormal. Just because it's Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't mean that it's abnormal. It's not even newsworthy.
And I've noticed a lot of people saying, like, that they're not really talking about, like, the Packers being the reason why the Packers won. A lot of it is just them saying, like, oh, they didn't play their best game. This team beat themselves. And I'm just wondering why the Packers aren't getting this credit that I think that they deserve.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, if you look at it, I felt that many of the pundits were assuming, and maybe I was to a degree, because I predicted the Cowboys to win this football game. I have to own up to that. It just seemed like they lost that tough one at Lambeau Field against a very good Eagles team. It seemed like going to Dallas was going to be a really tough ask. And what did they do? They went right in that place and they came out victorious. I mean, I think that's just outstanding on their part. What an effort.
Yes. Although it does need to be said that this offense needs Devontae Adams back in order for the pass game to be successful. Although the tight ends have gotten more involved, and although I have been critical of Jimmy Graham, he has gotten more involved successfully in this offense.
Yeah, and you know what? He did have even a couple blocks on the game on Sunday.
Yeah, I was so surprised by that.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm almost positive that those might be the only two of the season so far, but who knows, really. But he did do a couple of good jobs with sealing for Aaron Jones to finish it. One of them was on one of the touchdowns. He made a really good block. But I think he's showing up a little bit more, and looks like they're looking for the tight end maybe a little more as well. Is that because Devontae's out of the game? You know, maybe, but I hope it continues, because I just feel like as defense is focused on 17, we're going to have to spread the football around. I mean, 17's going to get his touches, but we still have to have other guys stepping up.
Very true. And you saw Rodgers make an effort to, like, to Jake Kumerow. I noticed he threw a couple to him, and Kumerow almost got in on one. I was sad to see that not happen, but... and you saw him even from one of the very first plays from scrimmage, he was trying to get MBS involved in the game.
Yeah, he really was. Another one that I really liked to see was Darius Shepherd's double move in that end zone. Literally spun that Cowboy around. He had to actually like wrap him up. Otherwise, that's a touchdown. I think he probably should have caught the ball anyway, but he had that Cowboy completely perplexed on that. And Darius Shepherd's a name that we shouldn't forget, because he's getting, as he gets experience and he's getting more comfortable, he could be that guy. He really could be in that slot. I love the way he plays that slot. He's got shake that the rest of the receivers don't have.
Very true, but it just makes me wonder, though, if the Packers should still look into getting another receiver if Devontae has to be out for an extended amount of time, because reports are saying that the Broncos are shopping Emmanuel Sanders, and although Sanders is kind of an aging player, I still think he has a lot of juice left in the tank.
He's got a lot of juice left in the tank, and keeping in mind that Darius Shepherd's a slot, so I feel like if they were to go get Emmanuel Sanders for the outside, on the other side of even Devontae, now all of a sudden you've got MVS sliding down to a number three. He would be a solid number three. I think it might be just a little bit premature to thrust him into a number two spot at this point in time. I think he may get there eventually. I just don't think he's there now. So I agree with your assessment, especially if it only costs us a third to fifth round draft pick. We're not mortgaging our future, and we could take on this contract for the rest of this year, maybe one more, whatever, for Emmanuel Sanders. I think you'd pull the trigger.
I think so, too. And about Geronimo Allison, I'm just about done with him. The drops are just too much with him lately.
Yeah, Geronimo's having a hard time keeping the ball. The other thing is, I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't seem like he's extremely slow this year. I mean, he used to be kind of a glider, but I used to feel like he actually was a little fast at times. I mean, I felt like his top end was still okay. He looks slow to me right now, and maybe it's because the rest of the team is picked up in speed, but it sticks out like a sore thumb to me. They run that little reverse with him sometimes, and I'm not even sure he's going to get back to the line of scrimmage. He looks like he's running in cement.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they don't have Darius Shepherd doing that on those jet sweeps. That was confusing to me.
Yeah, they've run that a couple times, I think, with Geronimo now, and he just doesn't even look like he's going to get past the line of scrimmage. And it's such a minimal game. And he's also very thin framed and things. So he usually takes I don't know what it is. Some guys have that in them to avoid big hits or whatever. Geronimo doesn't seem to be one of them. He takes some shots out there.
Yeah, no kidding. And I even noticed that we give MVS those jet sweeps as well.
Yeah, I mean, MVS has this top-end speed. I mean, I'd love to see him get his hands on the football that way, because, honestly, I think his route running and thing is still in work in progress. I know he's worked with Randy Moss the last few off-season things, and I'm not doubtful that he'll get there. But right now, I think his route running is still not where it needs to be a number two receiver. So maybe getting him the ball in a different way is key, because he's dangerous when that ball's in his hands. The problem is it's hard to get the ball in his hands.
Very true. And I noticed, in terms of getting the ball into other people's hands, we've been utilizing the shovel pass game a lot more in this offense, and I think that's something that is very needed, because, honestly, the pressure was coming to Aaron there, but he was just in the nick of time able to get that shovel pass to Aaron Jones, and it was a first down.
Yeah, almost a la Brett Favre.
Yeah, very true.
Of shuffle passing that thing off. In fact, one time I know Rodgers put it in his left hand and completed the pass, and it's very athletic to be able to do something.
Yes.
Things break down, all the better, because I mean there's still plays to be had down the field whenever, but I think he's being a little more selective on when he's pushing that ball down the field, and he's taking some shorter completions, and I personally like that. It might not show up.
Yeah, fantasy football fans might not like it, but Packer fans will like that.
You cut out there, Nick. I can't hear you right now.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yep, I sure can.
All right, very good. Yeah, fantasy football fans might not like Aaron Rodgers' stats. In fact, he only had 9 points. I know this from having him on my fantasy team. but I also had Aaron Jones and Christian McCaffrey, so I'm pretty solid there.
I think you probably picked up a win, because I think Aaron Jones picked up about 41 when I was looking.
Yeah, and actually you picked up 44 in my league, because I do PPR, so
sure.
Points per reception. And Christian McCaffrey had like 41, so...
Yeah, you probably racked up a pretty easy W.
Yeah, for sure. And the Eagles defense played against the Jets, so they got me like 35 points.
Yeah, the Jets are struggling.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, although, again, Aaron Rodgers' stat sheets might not blow anybody out of the water, but the thing is, it doesn't have to anymore in order for the Packers to win, because the Packers can beat you in more ways now.
They can, and you know what? If they can keep a respectable run defense, we know they're going to get after the passer. They've got those horses now. Rashawn Gary's only getting better as well, which the roughing the passer call was an absolute joke, by the way.
Oh, my God.
But he's getting in the backfield just like the Smith brothers are. And frankly, I'm not so sure there's a team in the league right now. And again, I can't qualify the statement, but I'm not so sure that there's teams out there that have a higher pass rush percentage and getting to the quarterback than the Green Bay Packers, rushing the throw and things, which is helping our back end. And we've already got a talented back end. So when you put those things together, you see what you see.
Yes, and speaking of our back end, Darnell Savage, it looked like he had a pretty nasty injury in the game versus Dallas, but it turns out that it was pretty minor, so thank goodness for that.
Yeah, I think Packer Nation can take a deep sigh of relief, because it didn't look good initially. You never want to get your leg caught underneath the tackle like that, especially when you get rolled up on. That's usually a high ankle sprain, if not worse. Looked like he just I heard that he just tweaked an ankle, and he's kind of day to day as far as I understand. Will he be out there for Detroit? I mean, I really don't know that. However, I mean, if he has to miss Monday night and he gets back the following week, I think we escaped a pretty nasty injury that could have been.
We kind of have a longer break again, once again this time around, because we're on Monday night, like you said. So. Going from Thursday night to Sunday, and then from Sunday to Monday night, I think that's definitely kind of a break for the Packers, if you think about it.
Yeah, it's another mini bye, if you will. It's an extra day and a half. So, but when you think about an extra day and a half in terms of the body recovering and things, that's going to be huge for some of these guys that are kind of dealing with some of the nagging little injuries. Maybe not the severe, you know, type of thing, but those nicks that you get, you know, 4 or 5 games into a football season, those things are going to have a little extra time to come around. So we should be blessed for that schedule.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it's great that we are taking advantage of these early home games, albeit that Philadelphia loss. But again, Philly is a great team. They were a lot better than their record.
Yeah, absolutely. Philly could have easily been, 4-5-0 at this point of the season. They easily could have been an undefeated team. So I don't think there's any huge shame in that. We could rehash, you know, what happened. We all know a couple of calls went against us for sure. But we also left a few plays out there too. So, you know, kudos to them. Good on them. If everything goes the same way as I think it might, we might end up seeing Philadelphia again. We might have a chance to spoil their party.
For sure. And the thing that I love about this is that the defense did not let that game get them down. They buckled down for Dallas, and they knew what they had to work on. And Za'Darius and Preston Smith, during media interviews following up to this game, said that run defense was their primary focus throughout the week. And I just love that. They're just on to the next one. They're not letting anything get to them.
Absolutely, and I think it's rubbing off on the rest of the fellows. I mean, you look at Jaire Alexander. This guy just gave up 220 yards. I mean, basically, he was on Amari Cooper for most of the game, one-on-one. Granted, I think there's a few times, too, where they kind of had some bracket coverage and things where they had help over the top. And, you know, there's some intricacies there. However, he has that next play mentality where he can just kind of forget those things and just compete. And he's a gem. He's a gem that way, because if a cornerback has long memory, you've got trouble on your hands.
For sure. But all in all, this was a great victory. Albeit the refs made some terrible calls, but the Packers persevered, and Jerry Jones's pocketbook wasn't enough for the refs, evidently. So
no, it wasn't enough for the refs, and I'd like to also tell Packer Nation that for a few days we don't have to listen to freaking Troy Aikman anymore, because I wanted to throat punch that guy. He is so biased for the Cowboys, it makes me want to puke.
Yeah, Troy Aikman and
Joe Buck.
Yeah, I call them Beavis and Butthead for a reason. So
yeah, I know that you mute them and listen, and you stream it online. I think I need to start doing that, because it's so frustrating to listen to him talking.
Yeah, I mute my TV and I put on Tom Grossi or Cheesehead TV.
Yeah, I need to start doing something because I just get so frustrated, Troy Aikman. It's ridiculous. In fact, one of the times I think Dean Blandino even said to him, you know, Troy, you don't have to say that you hate this or whatever, because he was talking about how he hated how Green Bay was playing and kind of dominating the Cowboys. And he actually said, as an announcer who's supposed to be, you know, unbiased, not have supposed to have any kind of bias, he's out there talking about what the Cowboys need to do, and he's kind of, almost like he's rooting for them. And dude, I get that you're an ex-player. I get that you had a rivalry with the Packers. I get all of that. But right now, currently, you're a retired player that's an announcer. Like, know what your role is right now.
Although I might have to mute Monday Night Football because I can't stand Booger McFarland.
Yeah, how did he get that job? I don't know. It's tough. It's tough for sure.
Yeah. Hopefully one day we'll have like Tony Romo or something like that, because he's actually a former Dallas player that I actually respect on commentary.
Yeah, he does a good job. In fact, he kind of takes you into the mind of a quarterback, but he's not so biased as to one team. I mean, he does a lot of analysis that I like, and he tells you what you should kind of be expecting in this situation. He kind of does the announcing as a former quarterback probably should do it, and I like that as well. But man, Troy Aikman, when you have a Facebook page out there that is titled something like, "Please don't let Troy Aikman and Joe Buck announce Packers games," I mean, it's obvious to a lot of people. This isn't just me whining right now. I mean, he is so biased against the Packers. It's sick.
I think before that 2014 divisional playoff game, the Packers media team, they brought in Troy Aikman to interview him, pretty much asking him why he hates the Packers so much. And he denied hating the Packers, but we all know.
Yeah, he can deny it all he wants. His announcing speaks clear for me, and it's time and time again. It's not like the sample size is small. It's every time I ever hear Aikman call a Packer game, it's rare to hear him say anything good about the team.
I honestly think he should be banned from commentating Dallas games, personally, but...
Yeah, you know, I know that he's a proud ex-player and things, but the other thing is, you know, he played in the 90s, I grew up then, I graduated in 1993, but I don't really want to hear him talk about his past the whole time either. You know what, it's 2019, the game has changed a lot, you know?
Very true, but yeah... The Packers sit comfortably on top of the NFC North after the Lions had a bye week and the Bears lost in a shocker to the Raiders in London. Thank you, Oakland, but we'll see you in a couple weeks here. But thank you to the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders and also, well, Minnesota won, so we can't thank the Giants, but I mean, it's the Giants. And everyone wants to say that Kirk Cousins is back or whatever, but it was the Giants' defense.
Yeah, like, yeah. And Kirk Cousins is 5-27 against teams with a winning record. Well, he's got the Eagles coming to town this week. So, you know, for him to kind of silence the naysayers, he's going to have to come up big in a game like this. I mean, you play at the Giants, that's one thing, but this Eagles team will challenge him, and I'm very curious to see. Even though he's got the benefit of playing at home, he's got to eventually step up and do something for this team against a quality opponent. Well, he's going to have an opportunity on Sunday.
Very true. But like I said, the Packers sit on top of the NFC North currently, and the Lions, while they may have only lost one game and tied another game, the two will fight it out in Lambeau Field on Monday night, and that's going to be one to watch, people.
Absolutely, and it'd be a great opportunity for the Packers to start out in their division, kind of making that first round sweep of everybody before they get into the second game of the division games, if you will. Beat everybody once if they can beat Detroit, and what better way? Go 5-1, separate yourself a little bit, and make these stars kind of start to align. Sure like the way the season has started so far.
Yeah, for sure. But we will be back sometime this week, probably Thursday or so. And yeah, Packers beat the Cowboys 34-24, and they really showed what they can do in this league. And Absolutely. Hopefully people are taking notice finally. I noticed that ESPN has us in the top five power rankings, so that's always nice.
Yeah, it's always nice to see your team at the top of the power rankings. But I would just shout out to Packer Nation. Enjoy this victory. The players, they have to go back to work and prepare for the Lions, but we don't. We have a few days where we can just sit back and celebrate the fact that we went into Dallas, we went into Jerry's World, and we took them once again. And that would be 7 of the last 8 or 8 of the last 9, I believe, actually. So enjoy it. The Packers have owned the Cowboys for a while now, and it's a beautiful thing.
For sure. And we have never lost in Jerry World, including Super Bowl 45.
We own that stadium. We rent it out to Jerry.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, everybody, thank you for listening. And join us in our preview episode against the Detroit Lions. Go, Pack, go.
Have a good one, guys.